We have our violinist in the Beethoven, Denise Dillenbeck. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning.
And we have a familiar presence here in all kinds of ways in Spokane, Kevin Hikmatpana, who in this occasion is giving up the baton of the Gonzaga Symphony and taking up his major instrument, the cello. And so good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Jim.
And we have pianist John Pickett, who is in town for this performance as well. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jim.
And last but by no means least, we have the one who is holding the performance all together, Nicholas Kawili, who is our guest conductor coming to us from out around Wenatchee. So, Nicholas, good morning and welcome.
Great to be here.
All right. What I'm going to do, because Kevin is a familiar presence, as I said, here on Spokane Public Radio, we have some other voices that are relatively new. And show of hands, anybody else who's actually been in these studios before? No hands showing?
Not this studio, the old
studio. Oh, you're at the
studio.
Old place. That's John Pickett, our piano soloist. Well, let's start with you, John. And if you could give us just, for those who are unfamiliar with you, just give us a bit brief rundown of who you are.
Well, I've been at Central Washington University for decades, and I've been teaching piano there. Ellensburg's my home. Love it. Moved from the East Coast many decades ago and was teaching at Davidson College. But when I got out to Central, I auditioned and or interviewed and found it to be really just an ideal fit for me and a place I really wanted to be. And it's been great ever since.
Excellent. Well, thank you and welcome to Spokane Public Radio. Denise Dillenbeck, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm an East Coast native, having grown up in upstate New York, and I've wound up bouncing back and forth between coasts over the course of my life. After studying in Boston, doing a five-year stint with the Oregon Symphony in Portland, and then moving back to Philadelphia for 5 years. And I realized in my Portland time that I really loved the Pacific Northwest. And so when I married my husband, who's the percussion teacher at Central in Ellensburg, I was really happy to move back out here. And now I mostly do orchestral performing and solo and chamber stuff in the region and an orchestra out east still.
So. All right. And Kevin, you are, again, familiar to us. However, for those who might be new in town or have not been listening closely enough, just how long have you been at Gonzaga and how long have you been with the symphony?
I came to Spokane in 94 and joined the symphony and Gonzaga at the same time. And I've been here ever since. And in addition to, playing in the symphony, I teach at Gonzaga, of course, and conduct the Gonzaga Symphony.
Excellent. And that brings us to Nicholas Kawili, our conductor for this program this evening. Nicholas, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm originally from Portland, Oregon, as well. I'm in my 13th year at Central Washington University as director of orchestras and my second year as acting chair of the department. Now in my 8th season with Wenatchee Valley Symphony, and next year I will begin a music directorship with the Lake Union Civic Orchestra in Seattle, taking over for Christophe Chaniard.
And this particular program, the Schumann Symphony, is a pretty familiar work. The Beethoven Triple doesn't get done all that much these days. Tell us a little bit about that piece, Nicholas, and then I'm going to go to the soloists on it.
Yeah, I mean, if you looked at all the lexicon for concerto repertoire, there's probably maybe one or two pieces that involve several soloists, or more than two, or three soloists. So this is very, very special to have, you know, a violin and a cello and a piano all acting as equal guest stars in this piece.
It's almost it's like a Baroque concept with a small ensemble, big ensemble. Now let me go to the trio for a second, and whoever wants to start on this can. You all have played together before, so who would like to give us a brief rundown of maybe the last couple of times that you played and what you did play?
We played. fall of 17. We played a concert with the Tchaikovsky Piano Trio and I forget, some other stuff.
Well, and then a few years back, we did a concert of the Brahms Third Piano Trio and the Shostakovich Trio.
Right.
And then we also shared a program where we were each playing a Brahms sonata, where you played a violin sonata and I played a cello sonata, and Tim Betts also was at Central, played a viola sonata. So it was like an all Brahms chamber concert.
And so we've also done duos, a number of concerts. Right. Kevin and I have been playing sonatas for a long time, as Denise and I.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been fabulous working
now,
with them.
Okay, you come to a piece which is new to you, the trio, the Beethoven you have not done before. And I assume that you have gotten together for rehearsal on this. How did the first rehearsal go? I mean, you have played together. You have a certain chemistry, obviously. But now you are taking that and approaching something which is foreign territory. I mean, you know the piece at some level, but now you actually have to get down and make it happen.
It's really interesting how difficult each of the separate parts is. And also, I'd say when we first got together, it's very different rehearsing a piece with a missing part, without the orchestra there. That kind of logistical difficulty was new for us.
That would be an interesting, because usually if you were a duo or something like that, you just said, okay, we'll bring in a pianist and then we'll have the sound of the whole who can play the reduction of the orchestra part. That, because you're kind of hanging out there.
Right.
But, what are some of the specific challenges from the instrumentalist standpoint first? What are some of the specific challenges of this piece that you kind of take a deep breath and a sigh when you contemplate them?
It's funny, yesterday in rehearsal, Kevin and I were talking, and I see a baseball bat in your studio here right now, and we were talking about how, like, each time each individual soloist enters the music, it's like you're stepping up to the plate and swinging and having to hit a home run. It's just like one after the next, boom, 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 you know? It's nothing's easy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Go to Nicholas here. What are some of your challenges as conductor when you approach this piece?
I had that same starvation for the solo parts when I rehearsed the orchestra by themselves on Monday. In the orchestra, like you said, like a Baroque piece, we have our ritornellos and we have our expositions and tuttis, and then we are just backup singers for them another 50% of the piece. So picking and choosing how I was going to rehearse that piece was a challenge.
And just curious about this, because here are the players in the orchestra, and they have their part in front of them. It's not that they're just missing the violin part, it's that they're missing those three. Is there any way that you, as conductor, can, say, by singing cues or something like that, give a notion, at least, of what they will hear?
Yes, I teach my conducting students that, you know, unlike choral music, where the choristers have everyone's part and they have the score in front of them, orchestral musicians don't have that advantage. And so as an orchestral conductor, you are supposed to look like everybody's parts. You're the common denominator, and you're kind of the physical manifestation of the complete score, harmony, and melody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And again, you had a chance, the instrumentalist, to put this together. And again, you were noticing the absence of the orchestral part in all of that. Are there spots within this that, because we're used to the concept of the concerto being for a solo instrument with orchestra, and there being spots where the soloist gets to really shine, where there are extended solo passages. Are there passages like that in the Beethoven?
Not as much, at least for the pianist. And in fact, I've found myself having to do a lot more counting. And which is not typical for a pianist when we're playing concertos.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing about that is when you're playing these parts, your own part by yourself, it doesn't really come to life. The music doesn't come to life until or take on its significance or meaning until all of the other parts are with you. And then it says, oh, yes, okay, now I get it.
It must be a challenge right from the get-go, because you receive a part and you begin working on it on your own, but you are really working in isolation, aren't you? And it's only when you get the ensemble together that you really hear how the whole thing is supposed to go. So there are no real extended solos for any of the instrumentalists.
Well, it's interesting because each one of us, as a soloist, has parts where we are accompanying another soloist, where I'm just playing a little arpeggio while the violin soloist has her part, or I'm accompanying the pianist when he has a melody. So we all take on solo and subsidiary accompanying roles, and then also sometimes we are actually accompanying when the orchestra has the melody. You know, and there's interplay between, let's say, the left hand of the piano and the horn. So it's real. It's like a giant chamber piece, as well as a giant concerto, all wrapped into one.
Is it true that every time you rehearse the piece with everybody together, there are new things that pop out at you in terms of what to listen for? Oh, that's how that works. Yeah. Or
definitely
that.
I find that always happens too in the concert, because you're. Adrenaline has your awareness pitched at such a high level that you take in all kinds of new things.
It's Beethoven. And is there, let me go to the conductor here. What would you say is among the most Beethovenian, if that's the right way to put it, parts of this concerto? Because again, it is for most people not nearly as well known as the piano concertos, violin concertos.
Beethoven's, you know, number one foundation is rhythm, a rhythmic identity, and it's not absent here. You definitely feel a rhythmic engine throughout the piece. It starts with a whisper, but it soon becomes like rock music. All the inner parts are chugging along with 16th notes and giving this kind of very gristly kind of feel to it. That's quintessential Beethoven, especially in this middle period. In contrast, though, in the slow movement, he's just able to infuse the slow music with tons of pathos, while still having an undulation of rhythm underneath. And like many slow movements in these concertos, they tend to go to the cello to elicit their first statements. And so there is a short cello solo passage in the first few measures of the slow movement.
Sticking with just the topic of Beethoven, let me go through each of the instrumentalists here and ask, what is your absolute favorite Beethoven piece to play? And does it relate to to the triple at all?
I was fortunate a year ago to play the last three Beethoven piano sonatas and in several recitals. And I can't say that there really is one. I can say the Opus 109 sonata in E major seems to me to be one of the most perfectly written pieces I've ever played, or I think that exists. So,
any connections that you sense in terms of the writing with the triple?
Not with so much with the late sonatas, but definitely with the middle period, the Waldstein sonata, which is a big powerhouse piano sonata. It was is part of his symphonic period. That's also in C major, and that's Opus 53, and the triple is, I think, Opus 56. So it's right in that, right in the wheelhouse of those big, repetitive, virtuosic patterns. And it just so happens that those patterns are both in C major from the Waldstein. And so I do, and the triple, and so I do see a similarity in the writing in that way.
Denise?
My favorite work of Beethoven's to play and probably just favorite work period is also a late work of his, Opus 132 string quartet, which is the most sublime, expansive, beautiful, complex, gorgeous music possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he has in that quartet my favorite slow movement of all time. And it's actually, he titles it Holy Song of Thanksgiving to the Deity Upon Recovering from an Illness. Mm-hmm. And you hear this gorgeous sort of church hymn interspersed with this sort of dancing celebration, and it goes back and forth. And I think the slow movement in the triple concerto hints at that sort of sublime, beautiful kind of melody that he does so well. And my one beef with the triple concerto is I just wish that slow movement were longer. It's great, and I want more of it.
we'll see what we can do about that. Get a message to him. And Kevin, you're...
The great sonata for cello, he wrote five sonatas for cello, and the one that's the most popular and just celebratory is the third sonata, the A major, which was the middle period, same time as the triple concerto. And Beethoven really expanded the range of the cello, really sort of explored the upper half, you know, sort of what cellists refer to as thumb position. And that is so prominent in this triple concerto, which, you know, the cello is kind of famous for having this wide range and having this sort of very singing top range and a very, very mellow middle range and a kind of a dark, earthy bottom range. And that's what I think of in this piece, because he really explores that as far as the cello is concerned.
Mm-hmm. And Nicholas, will alter the question slightly in terms of your favorite Beethoven to conduct, and you know, challenges in it versus challenges in the triple.
Well, my favorite to listen to, I agree with Denise on the 132, just sublime from beginning to end. But to conduct, I would have to say the ninth. You know, there's something about his ninth symphony that serves as the center of the universe for all things symphonic. I feel like every piece, every symphonist after Beethoven seemed to refer back to this piece as it's we have to do something more, or we can't do this anymore. No one can top this. It really serves as gravitational force for everything afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I should say, as a conductor, you know, Beethoven's music not only is very rhythmic, but it's stark contrast of dynamics. You know, sudden mm-hmm. fortes mm-hmm. and sudden pianos. No other composer really does this kind of thing. And physically, as a conductor, it can be jarring to be kind of a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. One at one moment forte, and at the next moment piano, and back and forth and back and forth. So physically, it's very, very difficult.
When you are following that, just for a second, when you do have these big contrasts, what do you find the most effective kind of gesture for, especially if you want the orchestra really to open up? And then let's take the polar opposite. If all of a sudden there are two P's in the next measure, physically, what happens?
Going the bombastic direction, it's very easy. You do nothing until it's bombastic, and you just kind of open up your surprise. For pianos, the same answer applies. You just do nothing, and you kind of drive off the cliff like your roadrunner driving off the cliff with as much energy as possible. And when you finally get to that piano, you just do nothing, because if you do anything, it'll elicit some sort of strain in your players. They'll play with more heaviness. Do nothing so that they can relax their bow arm and slow down their bow speed and slow down their air speed on their if you're a wind instrument.
Okay, very, very nicely put. I've had the great pleasure of talking with the central cast members of a performance tonight at the Fox Theater. The Gonzaga Symphony Orchestra is giving its late winter performance. And Kevin, this is the second to last of concerts of the year?
Yes. This is the second to last concert of the year, and it appears to be the last concert that we'll be doing in the Fox. And so on the April concert, that will be the first concert that we play in the new Woldson Performing Arts Center.
Another Woldson Theater, but this one on the Gonzaga campus. And that's been a very long time in coming. And we have to really spend a lot of time thinking and talking about that, because that is a major accomplishment for the university.
It's on track to be ready, so we're all crossing our fingers, and it should be a great opening.
Wow. Definitely something to look forward to, as is the program that is tonight at 7:30 at the Fox. Two pieces on the program, the Robert Schumann Symphony No. 2 in C and the Beethoven Triple Concerto. And on that program, you will be able to hear and see my guests in the studio today, the conductor, Nicholas Coeli, and then as well our trio soloist, Denise Dillenbeck, violin, Kevin Heckmatpana, cello, and John Pickett, piano. Thank you all so much for coming and joining me this morning, and best wishes for a superb performance this evening.
Thank you. Pleasure.